there's an expression, She'elas Chacham Chatzit Shuva. A wise person's question is half the answer. In life, occasionally we feel pangs of discomfort, emotional discomfort. Something seems off, something doesn't feel quite right. And yet, it's hard always to articulate the nature of the problem, the roots of the problem. And there may be many reasons for this. Sometimes we haven't given the issue enough thought. Sometimes there are deeper psychological reasons that make it harder to identify what's bothering us. The first step towards solving such a problem is to try to frame the issue. If we name the monster, then we can begin to rid ourselves of the hold that it has on us. This topic, I know that Talmidim wrestle with this all the time, consciously and also subconsciously. It stirs up all kinds of emotions, feelings of inferiority, feelings of doubt, and even feelings of petty jealousy. Our good friend, our chaver, is advancing. They're doing everything right. They're learning with tremendous hasmada. They're davening with what appears to be genuine kavana. They're always the simcha. And we are struggling to keep ourselves afloat. I think this can create a lot of ambivalence within us. And we may not even be aware, completely aware of this ambivalence. After all, if we want our friend to be happy, how could we wish him anything but good fortune? And yet, the hatzlacha that our chaverim have can definitely make us feel inferior, even jealous. But we don't want to admit that to ourselves. How could we feel such feelings? How could we say that we feel bad because they're doing so well? It's hard to admit such feelings to ourselves. It's even harder to admit it to anybody else. Now imagine that this same person who's doing so well, maybe we had a kernel of jealousy about how well they're doing, then we hear they have a setback. They ask a silly question in shir, the Rebbe rolls his eyes. They stumble in one way or another. Maybe, the deepest recesses of our hearts, we have a tinge of simcha, that they aren't as perfect as everyone thought. And of course, we probably feel guilty that we felt that way. These kinds of thoughts, these kinds of feelings are a part of the human condition. No one is immune to them. I'm not saying it's a healthy thing. It's definitely not a healthy phenomenon. The title of this talk, right? Unhealthy competition. And when you have such thoughts and we have such feelings, they take a very heavy toll on us. They drain us of positive energy. They distract us from focusing on what's important. And they rob us of our ability to really feel connected to our chaverim, to feel a sense of achdus. But in order to deal with the problem, we need to acknowledge that it exists. We have to admit, at least to ourselves, maybe to someone that we trust, that we have such thoughts, even if we wish that we didn't. In other words, if you want to transcend the negativity, you have to be aware of where it's coming from. And that's what I mean when I began with She'elas Chacham Chatzit Shuva. To arrive at an answer, you first have to own the question, not deny it. And the more that we increase our self-awareness, the easier that it will be to shift ourselves from this unhealthy competition to what we could call kinasofrim. We could channel that negative energy into something more positive. The truth is that a topic like this requires every yachid, every individual, to engage in a personal cheshbon hanefesh. Often, it's helpful to confide with a Rebbe, with a Mashkiach, who can hear us out, we can bear our souls to them, and then they can help individually for every person to bring the issue into sharper focus. Okay, but I'm speaking not to Yachid, I'm speaking to a Tzibur. I think there are ideas that are shava l'chol nefesh that we could all benefit from hearing. So the time that we have together right now, I'd like to share with you some perspectives that I think will help us increase our self-awareness about this issue so that we can own the issue and we can hopefully build ourselves in the Beis Medrash without the negativity. So I want to first begin with an observation that should be obvious to everybody who's here. You know, even if it's obvious, Ramchal writes in Sefilas Yesharim that even the obvious needs to be stated. Okay, you are all here to hear a discussion about the topic, building ourselves in the Beis Medrash without the negativity. That tells me something very important about everyone here. And it tells me that you are all B'nai Aliyah. You're people, you're Talmidim who aspire to grow in your Ruchnias. You aspire to become better of the Hashem, bigger Talmidei Chachamim, Medaktik in B'mitzvahs, Bali Midos Tovos. You want your lives to be defined by the values of the Beis Medrash and not by that of the outside world. And that's a great credit to you. It's a credit to our yeshiva. It's not something that should be taken for granted. It's countercultural. It's not the norm in the world as a whole. It's not even the norm in the larger Jewish world, and not even by all the students of this institution. But it is noticed. Last Shabbos, we had a Shabbaton with my shir. I get feedback all the time from neighbors, people who see the impression that the Talmidim make when they interact, when they come to Davin. I'm sure that this is true for all of you, those in the shir, those who are not in the shir. You're steiging, you want to steig, you want to make a positive impression that you're doing that. And therefore, you're all in a unique category. You're B'nai Aliyah. You see yourselves ascending, you see yourselves growing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's your desire. You want to do that in the best way possible. Now, having said that, we should also recognize the following. Even when we have genuinely lofty hasagos, refined values, there's still going to be a part of us, a dark side, let's call it, that can also succumb to temptation of all kinds and can succumb to petty jealousy. This is not my own idea. Of Chaim Shmulevitz, who is so famous for his penetrating insights into the human condition, he spoke about a phenomenon that he labeled Ha'or V'Hachoshech Sheba'adam. That's the name of the shmuz, of the sicha. And it means essentially that you can have diametrically opposed tendencies within a person, simultaneously. On the one hand, a person is capable of pondering the secrets of Hashem's creation. A person can be pulled towards spiritual growth in a very intense way. At one and the same time, side by side, the same person can succumb to all kinds of temptations, jealousies. These opposing forces exist within a person's psyche. One does not negate the other. And he has many, many illustrations of this idea. I'll give you one example, Cain. Cain understood the significance of karbanos. Even before anyone else, he was the first one to offer a karban. Chazal say Adam brought a karban. In the Pesukim, it tells us Cain understood it. The soul of karbanos, the Ramban tells us, that's who he was. Before anyone else, before Hevel, he understood the concept of bringing a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, when Hevel's offering was accepted over his, Cain was consumed with jealousy, and it led him to murder his brother. Let's talk about the Beis Medrash now. This of Chaim Shmulevitz doesn't say, but I believe it's within the same spirit of what he's saying. The Gemara in Brachos, Adav Chav Chesam Abeis, mentions the tefillah of a Nechunya ben Akana, which he would say when he entered the Beis Medrash. And this is what he began. Yehi Ratzon, so Yera Dvar Takola Al Yadi, V'yismuchu Bi Chaveirai. What's the juxtaposition between asking Hashem that I not make a mistake, I should make a mistake with Dvar Halacha, V'yismuchu Bi Chaveirai, and my friends will be happy. So Rashi says, what it means is that when I slip, when I make a mistake, when I paskin wrong, so my friends will be happy. They'll gloat, they'll rejoice over my downfall. Rav Nechum ben Akan is asking that I don't want my mistake to lead, to become a source of my friends gloating at my misfortune, which causes them to be punished, and all that is because indirectly I'm the cause of that. And then goes on in the same tefillah, and he says, "V'lo yikashu chaveirai b'dvar halacha b'esmach b'hem." So my friends should not make a mistake in dvar halacha, rendering paskening wrong, and I will rejoice. In other words, that will make my friends doubly guilty, not only for the mistake in psak, but for indirectly causing me to be punished for gloating over their mistake. What do we see here? Chazal recognize the real possibility that a Talmud Chacham's mistake can lead his friends to gloat over his mishap. When we ask Hashem that we be spared a mistake in halacha, together with that, we ask that that not cause others to take pleasure in that mistake. In other words, the fact that we're striving for greatness in the Beis Medrash doesn't shield us from the potential of unhealthy competition. The light and the darkness coexist side by side. Now, does that mean that such a sadistic reaction is inevitable? Obviously, we'd like to imagine ourselves feeling joy, feeling only compassion when someone slips, feeling joy when they're doing well. We shouldn't have a shemitz of satisfaction when they slip. I mean, after all, how many averis are you violating? V'ahavta l'racha kamocha, to begin with. Chazal say, miskabe b'kol chaveiro, en lochei golem haba. You take pride when your friend is embarrassed. It's a terrible thing. So we want to strive for a level where we root for the successes of our chaveirim, and we're happier for them not to stumble. It's interesting. The Masha offers a different pshat of the same words. So, ekashav v'alacha bismuch b'chaveira, he has a different pshat. He says these phrases don't refer to the scenario that they're going to be happy, bismuch b'chaveira, when I stumble. But bismuch b'chaveira goes on that which I did not stumble. In other words, we ask, we shouldn't make a mistake in dvar halacha, and our friends should be happy that we have a clear record, that we didn't make a mistake. And then we ask, well, yikashu chaveir b'dvar halacha, they won't make a mistake, they'll have a perfect score. The esmach b'hem, and I'll be happy with the fact that they don't have any mistakes, that they're doing okay. In other words, specifically, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for camaraderie in the Beis Medrash, that everybody's rooting for everybody else. There's an expression in Yiddish, to fagin. The word fagin I can't really translate precisely, but it means, loosely, to be perfectly comfortable when someone else is doing well, as opposed to seeing that person's success as a threat in some way to us and holding it against the person. How dare he do well? So according to the Masha, this tefillah that we say, what we're really saying is that our friends fargin us. Shelo akashel v'yismuchu v'chaveira. It's okay for them. They're happy that we didn't make a mistake. And we fargin them when they do well. V'esmach b'hem. And here again, it's striking. Yet we need to daven for this. That the chabura and the Beis Medrash can fargin one another. That everyone feels happy when their friends don't slip. In other words, such a cooperative attitude is not a foregone conclusion. It's something that requires a special tefillah and a special siyata d'shmai. So let's think about the following. What makes it so difficult to feel a kinship with others in the Beis Medrash? Where does the temptation come from to take pleasure, sadistic pleasure, when others fail? Why is it natural to feel happy when everybody is good, when nobody fails? And what can we do in addition to tefillah to help foster a positive atmosphere that doesn't have the negativity? So there's really a lot that could be said. I just want to tentatively suggest the following. The process of growing in Ruchnius is unique to every individual. Every one of us is on a personal journey. Yes, there's a common framework, which is shaped by the Kosei Beis HaMedrash, but the process of growth is unique to every Yachid. The fact that we engage in our personal journey and it's nurtured by a communal context is a double-edged sword. Let me tell you why. On the one hand, the knowledge that we're not alone in our journey that we're part of a larger tzibur of B'nai Torah, B'nai Aliyah, is tremendously reassuring. It provides enormous chizuk. We're not alone. We're all growing. We're growing together. We're carried by the power of the rabbin. We know there's a schus of the tzibur. I tell my shir all the time, the beginning of this man. We work together. We grow together. Rashi says in Parshas Bechukosai, Eino dome muatim ha'osin nesatora, l'merubin ha'osin nesatora. We look around us, we find role models that can inspire us. When we see ourselves slipping, our motivation slipping, okay, we can capitalize on a healthy peer pressure. Salit chaverim, they're coming. So we persevere. It keeps us going. It's great. To have that avira keeps us pushing forward. That's a healthy dynamic. It's conducive to our own aliyah, to our success. But then there's another side to it. The communal framework can present challenges to our growth. Because each one of us is a yachid. Every one of us has a unique set of strengths and weaknesses. There are all kinds of life circumstances that make our personal struggle unique. Everyone has a personal peckle that infringes on our time, on our health, on our yishuv hadas. It can get in the way of reaching our goals. It can slow down our progress. No one should say they don't have a peckle. Everyone has a peckle. How we measure our success should never be defined by the degree to which other people are doing well. Yes, we'll see soon. In a way, yes, but not in the absolute way. Our success has to be defined by how we're able to express our individual potential, taking into account everything that we have to deal with as individuals. Hashem looks at our achievement in the context of the whole picture. Personality, environment, strength, weaknesses, peklach, and we have to train ourselves to think in those terms as well. It's not fair to measure our success by the hatzlacha of others. The Kutzker used to say a very sharp line. He says, if I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you. But if I am I because you are you, and you are you because I am I, then I am not I and you are not you. Brilliant. When we fall into that trap, and we start looking at other people to define who I am and where I should be, that's when we slip into self-doubt. That's when we slip maybe into yish. And that's bound to make us feel uncomfortable in our own skin and bitter and jealous and disconnected from the very chevra that we want to have ties to. And the Yetzirah is a master strategist. He knows when we feel most vulnerable. He knows that we're in his grip. And that's when he begins to poison our minds with negativity. Either he gets us down on ourselves, makes us feel that something is wrong with us, that we can do better. Or he takes away the ability to fargin. He makes us feel like the others being matzliach comes in some way at our expense. We can't really feel positive about their hatzlacha. He makes us think that, oh, if only they would crash. And when they do, ha, you see, we take pleasure. Why does it happen? It happens because instead of using the framework of the tzibur to help us reach for our individual potential, we begin to measure ourselves by the standards of others. You know the famous part of Rav Zusha, the brother of Rav Elimelech of Luzhensk? He would famously say, they're going to ask me in Olam Haba, maybe they'll ask me, why weren't you at Moshe Rabbeinu, like Rabbi Akiva, like the Baal Shem Tov? Such a question I'm not worried about. I don't have the tools to be like any of them. I don't have the neshama Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't have the mind of Rabbi Akiva. I don't have the heart of the Baal Shem Tov. What worries me? A different question. If they ask me, why weren't you as great as Zusha could be? Ah, for that I tremble. Okay. There's one more part. What about kinasofim tarvachach? Is there not some value to looking at others, to spur us to greater heights? Isn't there something to a good kina? Doesn't that mean that we should allow ourselves to be measured by other standards? And at first glance, there's actually a gemara that seems to contradict the Kutzker and Rav Zusha and everything I just said. The gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Hei identifies three personalities. Hillel HaZaken, the Tana, Rav Elazar ben Charsom, another Tana, and Yosef HaTzadik. Each of these figures is portrayed as a role model that exhibits an extraordinary level of Mesiras Nefesh in one specific way, each one in a very different way. Hillel was dirt poor, and yet he had such an intense desire to learn Torah that whatever meager panasa he would make for the day, he would spend half of it to pay his way into the Beis Medrash. One Erev Shabbos, he didn't even earn that small amount. He was denied entry to the Beis Medrash. He walked up to the roof to listen to Shmaya Baptalion giving shir. He was so enraptured listening to the shir, he became blanketed by snow. He almost froze to death. He needed to be revived the next morning. That's Hillel's Mesiras Nefesh, despite his poverty. Rav Elazar ben Charsom was born into opulence, but he didn't allow his huge portfolio to distract him in the least from learning Torah. Once, while he was on his way to the Beis Medrash, he was accosted by his own servants, and they accused him of being unproductive, and that was Rav Charsom. He was committed to learning despite everything. Yosef HaTzadik had incredible charisma. The wife of Potiphar did everything she could to seduce Yosef day in, day out, threatening him, and Yosef found always a way to refuse her advances. Says the Gemara, each of these personalities serves as a way to eliminate any excuse a person has for not studying Torah. You're faced with poverty, says the Gemara, Hillel mechayev esaniyim. You can't hide behind poverty as an excuse. Look at Hillel. He's able to learn Torah despite poverty. Were you not poor? Were you poorer than Hillel? Was ben chasom mechayev esashirim. Yosef Mechayev, as Harishayim, those who are prone to act immorally. I don't understand. Doesn't this contradict everything we're saying? How do we compare ourselves to others? So I thought about this question a lot. I'll tell you what I think is the answer. It's quite simple. And I think this is what goes to the heart that distinguishes between unhealthy competition and kinah sofrim. The Gemara does not demand that everybody show the Mesiras Nefesh of Hillel, of Elazar ben Charsom, of Yosef HaTzadik. But their Madrega raises the bar for the rest of us. And it teaches us about our potential. These three individuals showed incredible Mesiras Nefesh. Hillel didn't let poverty stand in his way. So we can also do a little better. Hashem will not judge us by the standards of Hillel. He'll judge her just by the standards of Zusha. You could have done better with that barrier of poverty. If Hillel could do it on his level, you could do it on your level. The same for wealth. A person should say, oh, I had so many stocks to deal with, such financial burdens, I couldn't be kovei itim latorah. Elazar ben Charsom was not deterred. On his level, you can do more too. Yosef HaTzadik, you couldn't resist temptation, you were born that way. Yosef can show restraint, you could show more restraint as well. Not to the same degree, to whatever degree you're capable of. Chazal tell us we have to seek out role models, and we need role models, and extraordinary role models. The Medrash Tanit Eliyahu says, Chayv Adam Lomar, Masay Agil Masai, Lemasay Avosai, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. We have to look to the Avos. The Avos. I mean, the Avos are a whole different category. The Bali Musa say, the Lashon of the Gemara is Yagil Masai. Yagil means to touch, to make a connection. We can't be expected to live mamish, the madrega of the avos. It's not realistic, but you make a connection, a small connection. Raise the bar just a little higher. Connect with greatness, because we're all capable within our own potential to get a little bit more out of it, to actualize it even more. That's the balance that we need to strive for. We need to remember that each of our paths is unique, and we have to work on actualizing our own potential. So how do we do it? Again, to summarize, we need to tap into the power of the tzibur. We have to recognize that there's a tremendous koach in the tzibur. We can be carried by that. peer pressure is okay if we recognize that that's what it's for. It's to get us to bring out what we have within ourselves. We could seek out role models, but remember, it's not because we have to be them. I have to be myself. But if I can see how that person can shine, and everyone has their challenges, so they have their challenges, but they can shine, I can shine also. Let's push ourselves to our limits. But don't confuse the accomplishments of those others with a standard that's absolute that we set for ourselves. If we find ourselves wishing that other people slip, that's probably a sign that we're not being honest with ourselves about what our struggles are and what our challenges are. Strive for what's within your own reach and measure yourself by that, and keep that in mind, because then we have a win-win. Like the Mashal says, "L'kashav b'halacha v'yismuch b'chaveirai." Everyone should be happy that I'm okay. I should be happy that they're okay. What better wish can we all have for ourselves in our Beis Medrash, and really all Bati Medrash and all Klal Yisrael, who should be zochet to live with that kind of a spirit.